The following is a presentation of CJPE 99.3 County FM, the voice of the county in Prince Edward County.
I'm Krista Hepburn. You're listening to County Grows. Today I have on the phone with me Master Gardener Susan Warwick. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Krista. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Today we're going to talk about what happens in the garden in August. What does happen in the garden in August?
Krista, there's lots of things going on in August. I thought today I would just give a kind of a simple talk about what we're doing in August and what we can still plant for a later fall harvest, and also some of the tasks, I guess you could call, that we should be doing, since all of us are dealing with what seems to be like a ton of weeds this year. So I'm going to talk a little bit about those as well.
Okay, so what are the to-dos in August?
Well, one thing you can, everyone right now who has planted a vegetable garden will be harvesting their vegetables, and you're probably busy checking them every day for ripeness and picking them before they get too large or overripe, or they get eaten by those lovely squirrels and chipmunks and rabbits, etc. So there'll be a lot of daily checking and seeing how things are growing. As you know, zucchinis, they're best when they're still small and tender, and you don't want to let them get out of hand and turn into a giant zucchini, because nobody wants to eat a giant zucchini.
But it happens often, doesn't it?
It does, yes. You can't even give them away.
Yeah. And what about watering?
Well, watering and deadheading. Of course, watering, it's August, and as you know, you want to make sure everything has enough water, since August is usually very hot, very dry. We don't get much rain. Especially, you need to take care with your tomato plants and your hanging baskets. And remember to keep also fertilizing your hanging baskets and deadhead any of the spent flowers. If your flower has died, literally, it's just this little dead thing sitting there, just put off with your fingers or whatever. And many of the flowering plants will continue to flower after you've deadheaded. It's a good thing to keep on top of that if you can, if you have the time. And also, you know, your perennial plants that have finished flowering in the spring and summer, same thing with those. You want to go around and maybe take off any of the dead stuff or anything that looks kind of unsightly right now, and to make them look a little bit better in your garden. Although some people do prefer to leave all of the seed heads and those things for the birds and for winter interest. So it all depends on your sort of personal choice at that point of how you want your garden to look. So, and for example, I have quite a few hostas, and once they've finished flowering, and they look lovely when they're flowering, but once the stalks are dead, they look horrible. So I usually cut off the flowering, the stalks of the hostas after they've finished. And another thing that I also do is if you have any irises, this is the time to look at them and see if they might need thinning and moving and transplanting, because you can always tell when those ones are sort of ready to go is if they're sort of in a huge clump together and the rhizome roots are clumping up and coming out of the ground, out of the soil. You'll see them sitting more on the surface. That's usually a sign that it's time to do some thinning and transplanting of those. So that's another to do in August. I guess another thing, which is garden planning and dividing the plants. There's another thing that most gardeners do is about this time of year, you start looking at your mature perennials and you start deciding, you know, what might need to be divided or moved to another location because they either are not thriving in that particular spot or they're overgrown that spot, or you just think that they would look so much better in some other area of your garden. So you're always thinking about what could be moved and where could you put it. So I usually call this your garden is never done syndrome, which I think all gardeners suffer from.
Yes.
You're continually changing and changing and changing it.
Yes, I guess that's what some people love about gardening, is there's always something to do.
That's right, yeah. It's always changing, and you're always, you're always sort of designing and redesigning your garden, it seems, continually, so.
And what about weeding?
Oh, God, weeding. Well, I think that this year, I mean, every year we probably say this, but more weeds than I've ever seen before. So it's important to keep on top of weeding, especially now as the weeds are going to be setting seed pretty soon. And you want to try to get rid of them as soon as you can so they don't set seed. So some of those weeds actually produce thousands of seeds, and those seeds can actually be dormant in the soil for up to 40 years, if you can believe it. So if you can try to stay on top of your weeds, breeding, it's good and keep the seed production as limited as possible. As an example, I do some volunteer gardening at Macaulay House Vegetable Garden, and they have a little tomato area where we have about 10 tomato plants, and it's beautifully weeded and it just looks lovely in there. One day we came back and purslane, which is that sort of funny little edible weed that looks like a succulent, was popping up everywhere. There were like, it seemed like hundreds of these little plants that came up in the garden almost overnight. So that was not good. We were quite surprised that there were so many of them. Anyway, we also discovered that apparently these purslanes can throw their seeds quite a distance. So when they produce seeds, they actually somehow throw them out so that they will spread even further. So if you happen to have any of that weed in your garden, it's a good idea to get it under control. Try to get all of the plant if you can, and best not to dispose of it in your compost, because if you, let's say, threw a purslane plant in your compost, it can, apparently can still continue to throw the seed. So you want to put them in the garbage rather than rather than in your compost.
And how would I recognize a purslane?
Well, the purslane is like a little, it looks like a little succulent, so it has fairly thick leaves, small. That's really the only way I can describe it. It looks like a nice little succulent plant, actually. And at first you think, oh, well, isn't this lovely? But then when they're popping up everywhere, it's time to get rid of them, believe me.
Okay.
But I would suggest you want to actually see what they look like. It's best to Google it just to get the actual image.
Right.
For me trying to describe it is probably not the best.
Okay. And what about harvesting and drying herbs?
Well, if you've planted herbs, of course, this is a good time for you to start picking them, and you can just bundle them up and hang them to dry. And once they're dried, they can be chopped up and they can be stored in glass containers, which is handy because I find that, you know, like I grow oregano and thyme and sage, so those plants can get quite large and you just can't use all of that quickly enough. So a good thing to do is to pick them so they will continue to grow, but to pick them and dry them. So it's a great way to use up your herbs that you've been growing all summer.
What can we still plant in August?
Well, there's lots of things that you can still plant. For example, green leafy vegetables like spinach and lettuce, kale, and even cilantro. These can still be planted from seed, but one thing to remember is that these are cold weather plants and they need cooler weather in order to germinate. So when you plant them, you need to make sure that they're protected from the hot sun. You can put them in pots, for example, rather than right in your garden. If your garden's getting full sun, for example, put them in pots and put them in a more shady area so they won't be quite as hot. And actually a friend of mine, she planted some lettuce recently and she actually put shade covers over her seeds in order to get them to germinate. With the hot sun on them, nothing happened at all. Even though she watered them, they wouldn't germinate until they were cooler. So that's one thing to consider when you're planting spinach and lettuce and that sort of thing.
And shade covers, where do you get those? How does that work?
Well, I think like Lockyer's would have them, or I'm not sure if Canadian Tire has them, but they could, any of the garden places would have them. And it's just like sort of a thin material basically that just allows them to breathe, and it goes over them to protect them from the hot sun. And you can also plant actually cabbage, apparently, and I haven't tried it myself, radishes and carrots. But one thing that you should do if you are planning to do that and you're going to be out there buying seeds, look for a variety that needs the least days to harvest if possible. And you are some that are semi-hardy, as these types will tolerate a light frost. So look for a shorter time to harvest and a semi-hardy type. That should work well for you. Another thing with planting veggies in this time of the year is there's usually fewer insects. I mean, they're still out there, but it's not quite as bad as it was in July. So another thing that's positive about planting so late.
Yes.
And also, if you are planting in an area that has grown something else previously, it's always good to sort of put maybe a light layer of compost on the soil, to, you know, a little organic material, just to sort of give it a little boost so that it will help the seeds to germinate. And also make sure that when you are planting seeds that your soil is moist. So either do it, you know, after it's rained, or you can water the day before and get your soil really moist and then plant the next day. So once they're planted and you make sure they continue to be watered, not soaking, but they need to be wet in order to germinate, so, or at least damp, let's put it, I shouldn't say wet, they should be damp anyway.
Right.
It's important to water them regularly. You can mulch as well. Mulching is going to help keep the soil moist and keep the weeds away. So you have to be careful that you don't drown out your seedlings with the mulch. So depending on what you've planted, it's a good idea to mulch all around, you know, around the seedlings before they start to pop up so that they will not get suffocated, but definitely a good thing to do. The last thing I was going to talk about are garden pests, because I'm sure that it's August and all of us have been dealing with a couple of nasty little pests. One of them, of course, is our favorite Japanese beetle. Mm-hmm. And it's actually right now I'm noticing that the infestation that I've had is not quite as bad. So hopefully it's dying out. Anyway, I've noticed this year, and I guess other years as well, they tend to hang out on one plant or one tree. They don't go anywhere else. Like in my case this year, they chose my potentilla plant. They've never been on that plant before, but every single Japanese beetle in my garden was on that particular plant. Any plants that were next to it, they didn't even touch. Last year, it was my serviceberry tree. This year, it's the potentilla. There was a previous year where I had planted beans, and they went crazy over the bean leaves. So who knows? At least they were always in one place, and that made it easier to kill them because they were all in one spot.
Only the Japanese beetle knows.
Yep. Anyway, everyone hates them. And yeah, unfortunately, you have to either squish them manually, which is just lovely, or somehow drop them into soapy water. And if you can get them in there, that's a trick too. But if you can get them in there, great. And then, of course, the dreaded tomato hornworm. I think I talked about that once before last summer, but oh my God, gross. They're not for the faint of heart. They're large, gross. They have sticky feet. And these can also be dropped into soapy water. But you need to be really brave to actually pick one of those things up, because they're quite large and also very hard to find because they blend in with the leaves on your tomato plant. But you'll actually notice that your tomato plant has suddenly, the leaves are being eaten, and that's usually a sign that you've got this lovely hornworm.
So wear your gloves.
Yes, wear your gloves. And basically, I have never had any on my plants yet. But if I did, I would actually snip off the branch that they were on and drop the whole branch into the soapy water. Oh. There's no way I would even try picking them up, even with gloves. So anyway, it's not for the faint of heart.
Right.
Unless you really like bugs.
Right.
Anyway, but one thing also, I'm going to mention that one thing about these hornworms is they do turn into the lovely hawk moths. And these are beautiful looking moths, and they're great pollinators. So you might not actually want to kill them, but you might just want to remove them somewhere else so they can continue their life cycle and not bother your tomatoes. So there's something else to be said, rather than always killing them, that you might want to put them with the leaf or whatever branch that they're eating somewhere in a safe place where they can continue their little job. So
depends on how brave you are.
Yes. It's kind of a shame in one way to kill them, because they do turn into these moths, and you know, they are pollinators, and it's nice to think about maybe saving them, just getting them away from your plants.
Right.
Anyway, well, I think I'm just going to sum up and just say that there's obviously lots of things that can be done in August, and there's keeping on top of your weeds, I think, is the most challenging, and of course, bugs like hornworm and Japanese beetle. But then, of course, you can also sit back with a nice cool drink and just enjoy your garden and leave the garden tasks until the next day.
I vote for that.
It's always that.
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
Anyway. Well, thank you very much, Susan, for speaking with us today.
Well, you're welcome. It was my pleasure. And I just want to say to the listeners that Peck Master Gardeners, we're always available to answer your gardening questions. So if you visit our website, which is PEC, mastergardeners.ca, you go to the contact us page and you can fill out your information and your question, and somebody will be very happy to get back to you. So happy gardening and stay cool.
Okay. I'm Krista Hepburn. I've been speaking with Susan Warwick, Master Gardener. You've been listening to County Grows on 99.3 County FM.
This has been a presentation of CJPE 99.3 County FM, the voice of the county in Prince Edward County.